Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to Faith Foundations. This is, it's a bittersweet moment right now, and the sad part of it is I'm sitting here in an empty, mostly empty auditorium with like two or three people here and some camera folks, which is wonderful to have. And of course, Spencer, we can't not talk about Spencer, but I miss all the other people here. But the really sweet part of this is that, for the most part, I get to just talk to you. It's not something I get to do very often. And some of you are saying, who's she? I haven't been in class here in quite a while. So I'll introduce myself. I'm Pastor. That means Pastor Terry Copeland Pearsons. That means that I am Copeland because I'm the eldest daughter, Brother Copeland. And Pearsons, because I'm married to Pastor George, and I'm sure a lot of you will be looking for him at 10 o'clock. So that pretty well sums up who I am. For those of you that don't know, but I'm very privileged to be in this class today and to be talking to you. You know, it's Resurrection Sunday. Glory to God. I think most people call it Easter, and it's okay, but it is Resurrection Sunday. Wow. I'll tell you, you know, there are calendar moeds. That's a Hebrew word, and it means appointed time. And we see the Old Testament is full of them, but so is our time right now. There are appointed times, and I believe that this one, this Passover season, and culminating in Resurrection Sunday, is an appointed time for the days that we live in, and they'll never be, once we get through all of this, it won't ever look like it did before. And not only that, and the obvious things people are talking about, the impacts on our society, but beyond that, the things that Jesus talked about, the scripture indicates, are going to start happening faster and faster and faster. In fact, Jesus talks about, and the scripture talks about, this being like birth pangs. Well, being a mom of two and grandmother of five, a little bit of experience in that department. And what happens is with labor pains, they come closer and closer, but they also become more and more intense. So we see that pattern in the whole scope of time, that things start happening and they come, the cycles get closer and closer. So there'll be a cycle and then it waits a while and then the cycle happens again. And then sometimes there's a random here and a random there, but oh, when it's imminent, what happens? That cycle happens faster and faster, more intense. And we are headed towards the days of tribulation. And the Greek word behind that just simply, it just talks about that. It's pressure, intense pressure, a squeezing, that kind of pressure. Boy, did you ever feel squeezed? I mean, there are things squeezing people all over right now. Economic squeeze, health squeeze, fear squeeze, all of that. But for the believer, what is the end? What does that culminate for us who right now our believers, those of us who believe, and this is the basic truth for every believer, we believe that Jesus came, lived, died in our place, suffered in hell in our place, God raised him from the dead, seated him at his own right hand to make a place for us, and he's coming again. Those of us that have our eyes on that, what does that mean for us? A resurrection. A resurrection of the dead and the catching away of the church. So all these things are coming together, and talking about it on Resurrection Day is extremely timely and appropriate. So I want to talk to you about some things today that I want to point to. A lot of people are talking about it. So I thought, I'll take my turn at it. I think I'll jump in the bandwagon. Maybe we'll say some things you haven't heard yet or others haven't covered. Praise the Lord. So Luke 21 really covers most of that. People go to it, but I want to just give you the summary of Luke chapter 20 and just give you a quick overview of that, because it's the setup for chapter 21. And the things that he says in chapter 20 are, we see reference to it in chapter 21. So I'll try to be very brief with chapter 20. And I'm really reading mostly from the Passion Translation today, if you have that available. If not, I think they'll have it on the screen for you. But I have handy the Amplified Bible and also the King James. And so we're really prepared. That's why I have a whole table here. So Luke chapter 20, one day Jesus was teaching in the temple courts and sharing with the people the wonderful news, the good news, the gospel. The high priest and the experts of the law were there with the prominent men of the city. So how do we reference that to today? How do we make that work today? How does that translate? If this is a template for today, and if this was a cycle and the first coming of the Lord, then can we use it as a template for the second coming? What would that mean? Well, first of all, the high priest would be the highest authority over the nation and the people at that time. But you also had the prominent men of the city. And also it says the experts of the law, experts, prominent people. I'll give you a word that summarizes that. Today's word, influencers. Influencers, people who influence in politics, influence in government, influence in fashion, influence in sports, influence in culture. You have a lot of these people are people who they are influencers because they are made themselves influencers. They decided, hey, I'm an actor. I am an expert in politics. I'm an actor, or I dress cool, so I'm an expert in God. And so remember that as we read through this. So they came, and of course, then they challenged Jesus and said to him, who gives you the authority to say this? Let me put it to you today's language. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Who's you're anointed? What? The challenge. Challenge to the Christian. Challenge to the ministry. Sound familiar? And they begin to interrogate him. And they challenged him. And Jesus challenged them right back. And when he did, they didn't know what to say. They were afraid of what? The people. The people speaking up. People are the most powerful of all the groups. So the people. Goes on to say, then Jesus taught the people. So he questioned them, but he taught the people. And he goes on and gives a parable here in his teaching that helped identify. Now, all of this is the same group of people. So the high priest and these other groups we'll see are all there among a large group of people, and they are at the temple. Okay, so then he taught the people. Then it goes on to say he looked straight at the people. So he knows who he's talking to. But this point, now this is in verse 17. Jesus looked straight at the people and he said, what do you think this verse means? The worthless, rejected stone has become the cornerstone, the most important stone of all. Everyone who falls in humility upon that stone will be broken. But if that stone falls on you, it will grind you to pieces. Okay, so that's reference to another verse from Psalms. They're talking about the chief cornerstone. He said, so what do you think about that? In other words, maybe you should analyze yourself in light of that verse. And what does Jesus say right there? What was he saying to them? Pick. Where are you going to be? Are you going to be like those guys? Are you going to be full of pride or humility? The one who falls upon the stone is the one in humility, gives himself over. But if you refuse to, that same stone, the important stone, the cornerstone, will crush you. And of course, these are understood by these people to mean pride and humility. Okay, let's keep going. So what happened? The high priest, the prominent people in that group, they couldn't respond. So they just sent the spies in, a prearranged group of people. And these spies go in. This is what it says, verse 20. They sent spies who pretend to be honest seekers. That's a big point, and we'll see why in a minute. They pretend to be honest. And they watch too closely for an opportunity to entangle Jesus by his words. Their plan was to catch him saying something against the government so they could hand him over to the Roman government to be killed. So what I want you to pay attention to from this point forward is the atmosphere, the environment, the culture, the cultural environment that Jesus is in. What's happening? Challenging the word, challenging his right, challenging his authority, challenging, looking for a way to entrap. And it wasn't just Jesus. It wasn't just him that they were doing this way. This was the environment and the culture of the age, or they could have never gotten away with it. It was expected, but Jesus handled it like no one had ever handled it before. So we have pretenders or deceivers. And that's where they ask him about the coin. And Jesus said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, give to God what is God's. And it so baffled them, they told those Pharisees and said, don't even ask us to do that anymore. This is embarrassing. We're not getting caught like that again. So he had seen right through them. Then right behind them come the Sadducees. Now, who is that? It's interesting. Sadducees are another group of people. Now, listen, and the Jewish people will be the first to tell you, two Jews, three opinions. So they are a very opinionated group of people, and they are encouraged to be. They're encouraged to have different opinions and to question and to ask, to seek. Jesus referred to that and said, ask, seek, knock, look, search. Always looking, deeping, searching, deep, looking to deepen understanding. Search. So that's a good thing. But this group identified as people who denied the resurrection. So this ties into today in a great way. Denied the resurrection. And they were mean about it. Now, you have a lot of opinions, lots of opinions, but the Bible identifies these specific two groups. Why? And the leaders of those groups, because they had become mean, and they were using the word not as a means of just teaching people and blessing them and helping them see. You know, there are a lot of different opinions between believers. Praise the Lord. We need lots of that. And we can help each other. Some are going to see things one way, some another. Okay, that's not the point. But these two groups of people were led by leaders who were looking for a way to control, to dominate, and anybody that disagreed with them, literally off with excommunicated from the synagogues, sent out, despised, shamed, stripped of honor, mean people. And that's who these Sadducees were. And they came, they denied the resurrection. Charles Capp said, that's why they're Sadducees, because they didn't believe in the resurrection. Well, Jesus handled that very nicely with the scripture and showed him how God is the God of the living and not the God of the dead. For he calls himself the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as the God of the living, not the God of the dead. Then he goes on and he comes right back around again to the people. Comes around talking to the people. He posed the question to the people and he gives the scripture to them. And this is good Jewish teaching style. He asked a question. He kept asking a question. And then in verse 45, this is important. Within earshot of all the people, in earshot of the high priest, earshot of the Pharisees, earshot of the prominent people, earshot of the disciples, earshot of the Sadducees. We have no indication that they left. So in earshot of all these people at the temple court, just outside in the temple area, it says that he warned his disciples. So now he's speaking to a specific group and for everybody to hear. You know, there are times that we are talking directly to people who listen to and want to hear what we have to say. Maybe it's your pastor, your leader. Maybe this morning you're watching me, or you'll be watching Pastor George, Brother Copeland, who'll be here this morning. And you want to hear what we have to say. You chose. You're like, I want to learn from them. The Lord's put me in their group. I'm one of theirs to learn from them. That's fine. And there are times we're talking just to you, though everyone else can hear. And they don't all do the same thing with that message. But he said to his disciples, don't follow the example of the pretentious experts. Don't follow that example. Don't follow the ones that pretend to know something. Don't follow the ones that have the ability to convince they know something. But he goes on to describe their fruit and what they look like. They love to parade in their clergy robes and to be honored where they go. Now, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't honor. Jesus was very big on honor. He talked about it. The whole of the Bible talks about honor. Sitting right up in front of every meeting, pushing for the head table at every banquet for appearances' sake. They will pray long religious prayers at the homes of widows for an offering. Oh yeah, I'll come do something really religious, but you got to pay for it. No. You don't have to pay for the gospel. You have to pay to get the gospel out, but you don't have to pay in order to qualify to receive it. Okay? And he says they cheat them out of their livelihood. Now, does that mean that you should never receive a widow's offering? Well, that's contradictory to the scripture. We know from Elijah and from Elisha that they encouraged giving. That Elijah, he received the last of the oil and flour that a little widow had, the last of it. He took hers first. And what happened? Abundance for her household that sustained her. So Jesus couldn't have been saying that, and he qualifies it just following. But here's what he says. Out of all of that, beware of them all. Why? They will one day be stripped of honor. One day, in other words, in another place, Jesus said, look, everything that you get, all the honor you get in this lifetime, and if you try to get honor in this life, and that's what you're after, at the expense of honoring God and the life after this one, then everything you've got coming to you will be on this side. And one day that won't hold up. You will stand before Jesus as a believer, and you'll stand before God Almighty as a sinner. What'd you do? What did you do with what he gave you? And pride is not okay. They will one day be stripped of honor, and the judgment they receive will be very severe. Why those people being severe? So they're different judgments, levels. Why is it severe? Because they conned people. They conned them, and the worst con of all is one who uses the word for self gain, for self, just to promote themselves. Okay, enough of that. So now let's look. Jesus was in the temple, and the Amplified says, looking up. So he really didn't move. Looking up, Jesus saw the rich people putting their gifts into the treasury, Amplified. He saw a poor widow putting in two mites. That's the smallest of coins. And he said, I say to you, this widow has put in more than all of them. What did he do? He talked about quality is worth more than quantity. The quality of the gift. Now, if Jesus was about stopping widows and talking about this bad to receive from a widow, he would have said, oh, dear sister, please let me dig those two mites out of that offering container for you and give them back. He didn't do that. He recognized the quality of her gift. And he personally didn't necessarily have to respond because God is faithful. And God would respond. The laws of seed time and harvest. So back to the Passion Translation. Then it goes, while he's talking about this widow, they didn't pay a bit of attention. They missed it. They missed the opportunity. But they, and all of a sudden, looking around at these big stones. Remember Jesus just talked about the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone? But they're caught up in the natural stones. And what did they say? They said, look at all this. Look at how beautiful, all this excellence. And Jesus said, the day will come. Wait, I want to point something out. It's in the Passion, it says, talking about what they said. They said how it was built with excellence from the gifts given to God. As if to also point out, yeah, but having the offerings from those rich people makes a big difference. Well, he didn't rebuke them for that. Of course, lots of money to do things that are big and glorious and wonderful. But he said, but those stones that you're looking at, one day there won't be one left upon another. Why? We can answer that now in retrospect, because they rejected the chief cornerstone. And you reject the chief cornerstone, all the natural things that are built are going to come down. Okay, let's keep going. I'm going to watch my time here. Jesus said, the day will come, everything you admire here will be utterly destroyed. Other translations say, not one stone left upon another. Master, tell us, they asked, when will this happen? And can you tell us the warning sign? This is typical of Eastern thought and the way it's expressed. When will it happen? And what will be the sign beforehand? So they ask about this, but then they back up and ask about the previous. And Jesus answers it that way. He says, when will this happen? What will be the sign that it's about to happen? And Jesus said to them, I love this word in the Passion, and it sums it up, deception. If you were to, what is the key single word for the end of the end times? Deception. Jude talks about it. Thessalonians talks about it. Jesus talks about it. Deception. It's the key to everything. Well, I'm not deceived. Well, you just proved you are. Deception. Deception comes because people chose to not seek the truth. We don't have to be deceived. We have the truth. But if you pride yourself in not being deceived without the truth, then you're deceived. And it's rampant. Listen to what he says. So remember that. Deception will run rampant. In fact, this says, many who will appear on the scene saying, I've sent myself, or saying about themselves, I am the Messiah. Amplified says, who come in my name. What does that mean? They come using the name of the title, the identifier. What is Messiah? Well, some may actually use that word. But the Messiah means the anointed one, the one that's equipped to lead out. And there, I'm seeing some things, media these days. There's some beginning to make that claim. Some are saying, there he is. Others are saying, oh, no, there he is. Others are saying, hey, I have all the answers. I have all the answers. Okay. So what does he go on to say about that? They'll run rampant and they'll say about themselves, I'm Messiah. And he says, these deceivers will say, the end of the age is now here, but listen to me, don't be fooled by them. It doesn't necessarily mean that the end of the age is not here. Being fooled by them is being fooled by the ones who say they are the Messiah. They're the ones with the answers. Follow me. I've got it. Well, we might say we've got an answer, but we point to this. We can say, follow me as I follow Christ, chapter and verse. Without chapter and verse, follow me is very, very empty, and don't be deceived. Now watch this. There will be many wars and revolutions on every side with rumors of more wars to come. We know that phrase as wars and rumors of wars. Matthew says, don't panic or give into your fears. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I believe verse 2 says, don't be easily shaken or unstable in your mind, in your thinking. Don't get so shook up. Now, come on, believers, the mind of Christ. And Jesus said, if you don't want to be washed away with the great flood, then you need to build your house on the rock. On the rock. Practice. Practice what the word says. Don't allow yourself to be swept away with every wind of doctrine. Don't be allowing yourself, well, what about this conspiracy theory, this theory, that? Did you hear about this? Well, one or all of them may be true. My eyes aren't on that. Who cares? My eyes are on Jesus and the Word. And whatever comes, I'm rooted and established in Him according to the Scripture. I'm rooted and established. How do you get rooted in the Word? By doing what it says. And Jesus goes on to explain a little more about that. And He says, but the end is not yet. So what do we have here? Rumors and rumors of war. And don't give in to fear. Don't give in to, and frankly, that takes a quality decision and you have to work at it. Because fear will get you. It'll choke you. It becomes pressure. I don't understand how this happened. What about, what's coming next? Panic. And Jesus continued, there will be upheavals of every kind. Now watch this. Nations will go to war against each other. Well, I thought He just said wars and rumors of wars. What is He pointing out here? A cycle. Remember what I said earlier? Here we see it, the cycles. Now He's going to give us a little more detail. There have always been wars. Wars. Always been upheavals. So why is this new? He's portraying to them, and they understood it, that we're talking about cycles that start to happen. Okay? Nations will go to war against each other, kingdom against kingdom. That's more than nations. That's groups. That's cultures. That's different people groups, kinds of people, races. The black against the white, the brown against the yellow, the red man against this man, the man against the woman, the old against the young, the rich against the poor, labor against management. That's always been there too, but escalating in intensity to bring fear, panic, dominion, and control. All right, what else? There will be terrible earthquakes, seismic events of epic proportion. Earthquakes, always. Thousands. You know, there are thousands, every day, every little while. There are thousands of them. Most of them we don't ever feel or know about. But this says epic proportion. In 2011, there was an earthquake that hit Japan, and it actually, if the information I got was correct, moved the main island of Japan 8 feet. 8 feet, a whole island. What else did it do? It shook the earth, its axis, and it caused the rotation of the earth to speed up. You say, well, you know, it just seems like time's moving faster. And it is. It's not the only reason, but it sped up. Every rotation of the earth is faster since that earthquake than it was before. It's a very, very, very small amount that you and I would never feel, but it adds up. And it's an indicator. What Jesus say these things are? They're signs. They're indicators. They're showing us. Okay? I don't know if we'll finish this today. I hope we get to. Seismic events of epic proportion. Famines in one place after another. Passion says resulting in. But resulting in is, in naturally speaking, these earthquakes and things that happen result in famines and shortages. Those kinds of things, but it also indicates a spiritual result. Things happen that release other activity. Jesus is not only talking about just natural signs, but natural things that indicate spiritual release, spiritual patterns that you can't see with your eye, but you can see the result. Okay, there will be horrible plagues, epidemics. Let's see what the Amplified says about that. This is interesting. Infectious epidemic diseases, contagious, which are deadly and devastating. What does that mean? Deadly, people die. Devastating because of the results. So epidemic, so widespread that it's devastating to the economy, to families, to society, to culture. A shift occurs. So you have natural shifts, but you also have cultural shifts, economic shifts, mindset shifts that are so widespread. There's never been anything so widespread as the response to this virus, except the flood of Noah. On a worldwide scale, what about World War II? The whole world wasn't in lockdown. The whole world wasn't at war. But we've got the more than half of the entire population of the world is in lockdown. And most of them in fear over this thing. And the result will be a world shift and a world change that has not happened since Noah's flood. And didn't Jesus say that would be a sign of the times? Let's keep going. I find my place. Cosmic disturbances in the heavens. I just want to take a quick step here. We've seen that in Acts chapter 2, quoting Joel chapter 2, talked about signs in the heavens and in the earth, uses the word signs and wonders. Some people say, well, what does that mean? Well, I started looking into that. One very, very, very noted rabbi says that signs are what happen in the heavens, wonders are what happen in the earth. But the what we have to look at is the difficulty, and I'm over here, guys. Thank you. Sorry. So the signs and the wonders. Why? Because of the English. It's the English that has difficulty capturing the Greek. It's not the problem with the Greek. Signs and wonders in English, to define those two words, and they are different, are interchangeable. So a sign has multiple meanings. Wonders, not as many, but still multiple. It can be a verb, it can be a noun, and it can be a couple of kinds of nouns. But signs has multiple meanings in what it can. But I want to give you, just look at this. So let's look at the English words and realize what we're talking about, because things in the heavens, things in the earth can be both a sign and a wonder, and here's how. So a wonder, this is English now, a surprise or something unusual or beautiful or something that gives that feeling of surprise and admiration, or in a single word, awe. Something that brings awe. Well, just think about the telescopes that we have these days. We see things that are awesome. Awesome. The cosmos, just being able to see that in itself is awesome. But then we start to look at those things and we start to see the awe behind them. Things like the blood moons that were specifically on God's appointed feast days. The total eclipse of the sun specifically on a God-appointed day, and other events. Now that was the word wonder. What about a sign? It's an event that shows something exists. And the scripture says that these things are in the heavens to prove that God exists. And every man's accountable for that. Everybody is accountable because God put it all out there for you to know He's there. Okay? But it also says that something is happening or may happen in the future, or it gives an indication or points to. So there are things in the heavens and things in the earth. So there are things that happen. Miracles. Somebody being healed. What does that do? It's awesome. It's, oh, wow. But then there are signs that say, not only does God exist, but something is happening and something is about to happen. So there are things in the heavens above, things in the earth beneath. Some just say, God is here. God is awesome. God is wonderful. God is beautiful. And out of honor to Him, we are filled with awe. But there are some things that say, that's right. And something is happening right now. And something is about to happen. It's a billboard for a timely event. Okay, now let's keep going. Watching my clock here. Okay. So what does he say then to go on? He says, but, and he says there'll be disturbances in the heavens, things that weren't expecting, things that cause problems. Okay, before all this happens, so here we have that again. So all that's going to happen, you're going to see these things happen. But before that, he begins to say, you'll be hunted down, arrested, persecuted by civil and religious authorities, thrown into prison. Because you follow me, you will be on trial before kings, government leaders. Okay, let's take that apart for a minute. What's he saying? When persecution breaks out. There's always persecution. Persecution of the Jews. Persecution of the church. Never been without it. Never. Not since Abraham's days. But when it breaks out at another level, when it breaks out, okay, when it, then what's he saying? When that happens, you're going to see the response of the earth, the response of culture. It unleashes things on the earth. Wars and rumors of wars, famines, plagues, earthquakes, famines, plagues, culture shifts. Why? Because that happened. What did we see start to happen some years ago? Back even in 2001, what happened? A release of persecution around the world of the Jews and the Christians. Christians on a level that I don't know if it's ever happened at this level. Persecution, whatever level is appropriate to the country that it's in. So you have persecution, people being beheaded from religious leaders, Islamic terrorists. You also have persecution from governments, oppression. But you also have in this country what? Oppression and persecution. And it started just as a cultural thing. And then it went into the government, going over into the military. Chaplains can't put their Bibles on their desks. Teachers have to take their Bibles out of schools. Can't talk about God. Sue in this one, sue in that one, all the way down. You can't say Merry Christmas. We'll fire you. And shaming people and shunning people. That's what we see mostly in Western civilization. They'd kill you if they could. We see that with Jesus. They wanted to arrest him, but really what they had in their heart was to kill him. And you see that happening. And what does that do? It releases all these other things happening, which then starts a momentum. And Jesus said, the cycle will continue, 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 getting more and more pressure. Okay? But he says, talking about persecution, he says, all of this will turn out to be, those are my words, opportunity to testify. Opportunity for the name of Jesus. Opportunity for the power of God. Opportunity to stand up and prove, just like Paul did, this works. Opportunity to testify to them in my name or of my name, the power of my name. Yet, this is what you're supposed to do. Determine in your heart. This is not to prepare your own defense. Let me put it this way. You determined that I'm not here to defend myself. That's up to him. I'm not here to defend myself to anybody. I'm here to teach. I'll talk to the people as Jesus had just done. He had just through all chapter 20. He didn't defend himself. Just went to the Word. Went to the Word. Went to the Word. Now, some saw it and understood him because of it. Others never did. There will be some people that will never understand you, never understand me or Brother Copeland or any Christian or the Bible or God, Jesus, the Holy Ghost or anything related to them. They never will because they don't love the truth. And Jesus said, I'm the truth. I'm the way to the truth. Okay? So he says, you don't prepare to defend yourself. Simply speak the words of wisdom that I give you for that moment. In that moment, I've got words for you. You speak to the moment. You talk to the moment. And what happens? I'll give you, none of your persecutors will be able to withstand the grace. Now, they might not receive it, but it's there. They won't be able to keep grace from flowing out of your mouth. They won't be able to keep it from happening. And they'll, from that point forward, they're accountable. Paul had to speak to Caesar, but he spoke to King Agrippa and he said, you almost persuade me. We don't know what happened after that, but grace was there. Paul wasn't defending himself. You know, when they asked him about his accusers, they asked Jesus about his accusers. Well, he answered them, but he wasn't preparing a defense to try to get out of the situation. Just give the truth. Speak the truth. Speak the truth. Speak the truth. Simply, plainly. Okay? Not trying to get away. Not trying to deny. And he says, wisdom will come from your mouth, but you can expect betrayal by parents, brothers, relatives, friends, And yes, some of you will die as martyrs. Yep, some will. Now, let me talk about that for a moment. Dying as a martyr, some people have given their lives, their heads cut off, shot, starved, drowned, all kinds of things. Persecution, beaten to death, tortured to death. Martyrs. And oh my, what a reward they have. So glorious. There are some people who've understood the glory of that and chose to be a martyr rather than receive their deliverance, Hebrews 11 says, rather than to take their deliverance because they were looking for that great reward. Chose to die instead. And that means they had a choice. They could have believed God through that situation and come out like many did, or they could have just chosen to be, they chose. Okay, but there are other kind of martyrs as well, and it's not to the same glory or level. But there are people whose reputations who are put on trial by who? By these influencers, the civil, the religious authorities, the people who condemn and pressure, trying to kill your ministry, kill your integrity, haunt your reputation, ruin the word that you speak, color it so people won't listen to it. Nobody's perfect, and none of us are as skilled at this as Jesus was. Not at all. Paul wasn't. He even apologized to one person. We have other examples we could give. But that's not the point. They're a point who just want to kill anything they can, steal your reputation, steal your integrity, and put so much pressure on you that they either water you down or shut you up. You will be hated by all. Now, does that mean everybody? No. No, you'll be hated by all these people because my life is in you. And he tells us in other places, if they hate me, well, you know they're going to hate you. God haters, Jesus haters. And some people will be God haters, Jesus haters, but will speak against you in his name. And Jesus doesn't do that. He's not against people, even who hold errors. Even those who are wrong, he didn't hate them. My grace will never depart you or from your life, so stand firm with patient endurance and you will find your soul's deliverance. The torment, the pressure of what people are saying and the way they're acting and the way they're thinking and the words of their mouths, he said, there's deliverance for that. Peace of mind, peace of soul. Praise the Lord for that. Okay, listen now. This next section, I won't read through all of it, but he says, when you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you'll know for sure its devastation is imminent. Now here he's talking about what happened in the siege of Rome on Jerusalem, and they destroyed it. And that's when those stones wasn't one left upon the other, et cetera, and all that happened. And so this whole next between verse 20 through 24, that happened and it lasted. The judgment against Jerusalem was 2,000 years. 2,000 years. But in 1948, that ended. He says the days of world empires will come to an end. That's when world empires, the Turkish Empire, the Ottoman Empire, the Greek Empire, the Roman Empire, the Mede-Persian Empire, all those empires, the British Empire, they all ended in 1948. And then at Jerusalem emerged, that fig tree emerged. What happened? And prophetic nations started to get into place. So that part is completely fulfilled. But then he goes back, verse 25, expect to witness amazing and perplexing signs throughout the universe. Oh, here we have it again. So all that's happened. And now we start to see a rollout of signs and wonders, sun, moon, and stars in the earth, signs and wonders. It's happening again. It's happening. And it happened in 1948. And there was an escalation of the billboards in the skies filled with awe and in the earth below. But here's something different about our day that's never been before this day. Expect to witness it. We're able to witness things in a way that no generation before us ever has. No generation has. We can witness from NASA. We can witness through Hubble. We can witness through social media. and the news and the internet, we can with our own eyes see things. All they could see before was the sun and the moon and placement of a few stars. But now we don't just see a reflection of the star. We can see it. We know what its activity is. Stars beyond the ability of a natural eye to see. That in itself is a sign of this age. Amazing, perplexing signs, etc. The roaring of the sea, a tsunami. Turmoil to the nations. And again, what happens? Earthquakes, panic, disasters. Men will see coming to the earth will cause fear of doom to grip their hearts. They'll see what's coming. We can see it coming. We can predict it. They can stand up and say, 10,000 people will die here. 10,000 people will die there. If we don't respond, this is going to happen. Have you ever seen it like this? And you say, well, they're exaggerating those numbers. Well, based on what they know, you know, what do you want them to do? Tell you just 10,000 and then it turns into 100,000? Why do they have to respond that way? Because fear of the people. Because it's damned if you do, and it'll be damn you if you don't. Condemning, judgment, pressure, conviction, looking to trap people, trap the president, trap this one, trap that one, trap the doctors. Let's see. People who are paid hundreds of thousands of dollars every year to trap somebody in their words. Imagine it. And that's what was happening there with Jesus. And he says, the cycle will start up again. All that will happen. And he said, it will be, you'll see so much, know so much. It will be so gripping that fear will cause men's hearts to fail. And this word causing men's hearts to fail, it's all in one word. And it's rooted in a word that means separation. Like for some, it means lose your breath. Take your breath. It can mean to faint. I see that as both a literal fainting, weakening, but the separating a spirit. It means take your breath away. But breath, remember, also means spirit. So in other words, we could also put it in this context to where men's hearts, their spirits are so weakened that they'll die, or so weakened that they cave in. So weakened, their souls, no stability, no integrity, no ability of heart, fortitude, courage, bravery to stand on the word of God, bravery to look through the ridiculousness of the age. I'm not saying that the sanitation, all that's ridiculous, but the things that necessity causes people to think and do that are unnecessary. Okay? So understanding that points us to an age that's never, ever been before. So this cycle, wars, rumors, pestilences, famines, all those things, cycle, 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 brings us to a place where we can see things on a level that's never been before. And you will see the powers of the heavenly realm shaken. That means cosmic things happening. NASA can see them. Some of them, I'm convinced. Some things we know, their websites, I don't know if they're accurate or not, I didn't check, but talk about asteroids. How do we deal with them? Things that are headed for Earth, getting dangerously close. The Bible tells about it in the book of Revelation, that we know after the church is caught away, there's some things like that going to happen, which we're not here to talk about today. At last, when you see how the Son of Man comes, surrounded with cloud, power, miracles, radiance of his splendor and great glory, it'll make you jump for joy because the day of your transformation has arrived. So we're looking for him in the spirit. We're looking for him. Those of us that have our eyes set on him in the word will see him in the spirit. In the air, can be also in the spirit. We will. Others, I don't know what everybody will see. It's something that's never happened before. But if I'm looking for him and my spirit's tuned in, your spirit's tuned in, you'll see him. You'll be ready. Let me quickly cover now these. He talks about these prophetic nations. And I wish I could go into this part. He says, don't you realize in the same way these signs occurring, realize that the earth is yielding to the fullness of God's kingdom realm. What happened when God came on Sinai? Earthquakes, fire, smoke. God's moving. This realm is coming closer, his realm, closer and closer and closer back to the way it was. But sin is still here, and this earth is shaking under his presence. We'll talk about that some other time. But I assure you that this age will not come to an end till everything I've said about it will come to pass. Not one word of mine will fail. But now here's the key, and I have to sum this up very quickly. Be careful, verse 34. Be careful. Beware. Pay attention. Look alive. Wake up. That you never allow your heart to grow cold. This is how you're not deceived. This is how you do it. All of that is wrapped up into deception. Deception, what it means. Deception to what's coming. Fear, fear, fear. Deceive, deceive, deceive. But Jesus said, here's what, don't allow your heart to grow cold. What did he tell the church there in the book of Revelation? You grew cold. You're lukewarm. And I spit that out of my mouth. Get on board here. Remain passionate and free from anxiety. So passionate about him that your heart is free, your mind is free, your soul is free. Remember what he said? He said, this is how your soul will have endurance, because you stand firm with patient endurance and your soul will be delivered. And the worries of this life, be free from them. Then you will not be caught off guard by what happens. Don't let me come and find you drunk or careless in living like everyone else. Don't be like everyone else. Don't do what the world does. Don't act like they act, because judgment is coming on this stuff. Even now, the Surgeon General says, don't smoke, don't drink, don't do that stuff. It's weakening your system to such a point you are a candidate for sickness and disease. With a believer who lives a separated life, check, check, check. Don't be like everyone else. That day will come as a shocking surprise to, it says, to all. To who all? To everyone else. But you won't be surprised, catching many unaware and unprepared. Keep a constant watch over your soul, a constant watch over where your mind is thinking, a constant watch. What do you say about your soul? What do you do? He says, stand firm. With patient endurance, build your house upon the rock, not on shifting sand. Build your faith, build your life. What does he mean, your house? Your life, the way, what your body does, what your mind thinks, what your spirit feeds on. What are you feeding on? Don't feed on words of sorrow and grief. Feed on words of victory and life. Feed them, keep it in your eyes, keep it in your ears, and make that be what you speak of. Yeah, you'll stand out, you'll look real strange, and people will make fun of you, but you will find your soul's deliverance. You'll be fear-free. You'll be panic-free. And you'll have faith, and the Word will do its work for you. Not afraid to stand up in His name. And His name is provision. His name is salvation. His name is healing. His name is deliverance. His name is Jesus. And the last thing He says is watch over your soul and pray. Pray for courage and grace to prevail. Pray, stay connected with Him. So we have our eyes on the Word, but never separated from Him. I love what Perry Stone said the other day. He said, talk to Jesus. Just close your eyes. Sing to Him. Love on Him. Worship Him. Don't neglect that. Don't quit that. Don't do it. Why? It's fellowship. Fellowship. Fellowship with Him. Around His Word, in the Spirit, over these things that are destined to occur, and you will stand before the presence of the Son of Man with a clear conscience. You'll be able to say, I did it, Lord. I did it. And He's not looking to find fault with you. No, no, no. Things we don't know, nah, no problem. We just walk with Him the light that we have. And what happens? Fear-free. Love is perfected in us. Uncritical of others. Uncritical, just loving Him. Loving each other. The world will know us because of our love for Him and for each other. Amen and amen. We just have a couple of minutes here before we go to our main service at 10 o'clock. Grab a drink of water, whatever you need to do real quick, and come right back at straight up 10 because church is live. Amen.